Our lesson tonight is out of Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to 21, nurture and applying Christ's supremacy and all sufficiency to family life. If the believer must focus on his positional certainties in Jesus Christ in the heavenlies to offset the trials he faces from evil pressures on the earth, as Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, with its Colossians chapter 2, 1 to 23 context teach, he is also obligated to function righteously in his family life, as opposed to living in worldliness in that realm. It's interesting, there's a worldly way to live in a family, and there's also a godly way, a righteous way to live in a family, and they're different. Colossians 3, 18 to 21 gives practical instructions on this subject, and we view it for our insight and edification. I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. Colossians 3, beginning at verse 18 and going to verse 21. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, stop provoking your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. It's interesting that Colossians and Ephesians were written at the same time. And so you can always check by what Paul means in Colossians 3 by checking with what the commands that he makes in Ephesians chapter 5 and then verse 6. But he adds a different slant in some of these areas than he does in Ephesians. And it's very interesting for us. Colossians 3:18 in its context directs righteous functioning for wives in marriage. It's interesting when Paul talks about people in oversight and in subordinate roles, he always talks to the subordinate first before going to the overseer, because the overseer can't oversee unless the subordinates are subordinated. Very interesting. So he talks to wives in the marriage first, under the control of the Holy Spirit, and that goes without saying. Galatians 5:16 says, walk by means of the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I take it that in all of these realms, family life, especially in the Christians, it has to be by the control of the Holy Spirit. If a person is not controlled by the Holy Spirit, they can't function well in the wife role, the husband role, the children role, the parent role, period. So under the control of the Holy Spirit, as Galatians 5:16 teaches, the believing wife in a marriage is to focus on her heavenly position in Christ, Colossians 3:1-4, so as to submit herself under her husband, for this is proper or fitting. The Greek word aneko means it is fitting, it is proper. So as to submit herself to her husband, for this is proper or fitting in the Lord. The Lord really appreciates, he really feels it's fitting for a wife to be submissive to her husband. This is so different from the world. In the world today, it's women's lib, it's a feminist movement where you just get out, you do your own thing, and you basically put your husband in his place and whatnot. That's not what God wants. And God created man in the Garden of Eden first, and then he took from the man's side a rib. And from that rib, that's part of Adam's body, he made a woman and brought her to him. And he went ahead and he named her, demonstrating his sovereignty over her. But she is part of him. And so the focus is on for the husband to provide for and to protect and to nourish his wife, because she's actually his rib. And so that set the pattern. From then on, every time a couple gets together and gets married, from God's perspective, God wants the man to look at this wife as part of his physical body, part of his rib. And therefore, he's supposed to protect her, he's supposed to nurture and so forth. But the wife is also supposed to submit to her husband, just as the physical parts of my body are submissive to what I want to do. This is the submission that God is calling for. Now, the verb submit here, and this is something I did not know until I studied this passage this week. The verb submit here is in the middle voice. Now, in Greek, you have three voices. You have an active voice, where the subject does the acting. You have a passive where the subject is acted upon. You also have a middle voice in Greek that you do not have in English. And in the middle voice, you do it for your own benefit. This is in the middle voice. Hupotas estha. It's from the basic word hupotasso, which means that the wife submits for her benefit. Who'd ever thought that a woman submitting to her husband was for her benefit? But it is. Why? Well, that the Lord in heaven is pleased with such a wife's function, and God will bless her accordingly. I have had wives who attend our church or who have attended our church in the past who are married to unsaved husbands. And in two cases, these ladies have come to me and said, you know, I used to wonder, how can I submit to my husband if he doesn't know the Lord? But I felt that I need to try. And so in several cases, these women have submitted to their husbands, and they have both testified to me that when they did, the husbands, the unsaved husbands, God worked in the unsaved husbands to provide protection for them, sometimes from calamitous situations with extended family members, in a variety of ways. And these ladies have testified to me it was to my advantage to submit even to my unsaved husband in my role. So it's amazing. There is a blessing that God provides for a woman if she submits herself to her husband. Then Colossians 3:19 in its context directs righteous functioning for husbands in marriage. Under the control of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:16 again, walk by means of the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The believing husband in a marriage is to focus on his heavenly position in Christ, Colossians 3:1-4, so as to love, and the Greek word love here is agapao, his wife. That happens to be the same word that is used in John 3:16, for God so agapao the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is an objective form of love. A husband is never directed to phileo his wife. Phileo is where you love in the sense of an emotional attachment. It doesn't mean that the husband's not supposed to be emotionally attached to his wife. But it's interesting that whenever a woman is commanded to love her husband, it's in the area of phileo, emotional attachment. A woman loves her children, phileo, emotional attachment. Not with a man. The reason is the way a man loves, he loves many ways like God loves. He makes a choice. I'm going to love that woman. And he makes the choice. It's a decision. And as a result of that, he carries it out in his life. And this is what God calls a husband to do. Agapao, your wife. The Greek term implies an objective reasoning attachment as opposed to a mere emotional connection as with phileo. And of course, when the husband initiates this type of love towards his wife, she will respond in time with an attachment, an emotional attachment of phileo. And she's a woman is designed by God to focus primarily on the phileo. Now, this love was to be accompanied by the husband ceasing. You have a present imperative with a subjunctive negative, which means stop. Apparently, this was a problem that was going on in the church at Colossians. But he was to stop letting himself be. It's a passive voice, Picrinus, that. Stop letting himself be made bitter or embittered. Now, the word embittered in this context means do not become incensed or harbor resentment against one's wife. Let a man not despise his wife's female weaknesses so as to inhibit his love towards her, but to make her an objective choice to love. Make an objective choice, rather, to love her as she needs him to do. It's very easy sometimes for a man to look at his wife and to say, well, there she is again, her hormones are acting up or whatever, and just kind of act it with somewhat disgust. That's never something that is tolerated. A woman needs her husband to make a commitment of love, and it has to be unconditional, it has to be constant. And that way she has the sense that he is underwriting her, he's always going to be there to help her and provide for her and protect her. She's the weaker vessel in the sense of the realm of the physical realm and so forth. So the husband is designed by God to be naturally more on the even temperament. So the husband is not supposed to be embittered. He is supposed to put that behind and recognize he has a responsibility there to carry on a consistent, steady commitment to his wife so that she never doubts that carrying. And this is so important, because that sets the tone not only for the marriage, it sets the tone for the home. I found very early in my marriage that if I came home and I was grumpy and the rest of the house was happy, I could get the whole household grumpy in 10 minutes. On the other hand, if I came home and I was happy and the household was grumpy, I could get them happy in about 10 minutes. It was just the way it happens. It's the influence that the man has in the home. And so I found that if I had a problem, I needed to stop on my way home and go to a park, have it out with the Lord, take care of that, so at least I could come home in a positive manner and provide some positive stability for the family. So it's very important for husbands to love this way their wives. Now, Colossians 3:20, in its context, directs righteous functioning for children in family life. We have a number of children in our service tonight, so this is what God would have them to do. Children, under the control of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:16, and of course, it goes without saying, in order to have the Holy Spirit, you have to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So if you haven't yet believed in Jesus, you need to believe in Jesus as your Savior so you can be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. But you're controlled by the Holy Spirit when you consciously rely on Him. The believing child in a family is to focus on his heavenly position in Jesus Christ, Colossians 3:1-4, so as to obey his parents in all things. I used to read that, and I thought that was tough. You know, I would say, well, most things. No, I didn't say most things. Obey your parents in all things. And that's fitting in the Lord. That's very, very important. The sole exception, of course, would be if a parent would tell the child to sin against God. Acts chapter 5, verse 29 says it's better to obey God than men. Now, if that would ever happen, that's the only exception. I can think of situations where a child who's a Christian is in a home of unsaved parents, and the unsaved father or the unsaved mother would direct them to do that which is sin, direct them to steal something or to lie or something like that. And we don't have to worry about that. Your parents here know the Lord, and they want you to obey the word of God. But that would be the exception. And I put that exception in there because I know there are a lot of people that read this information on the internet, and I want to make sure I cover the grounds carefully. But this activity, this obedience, is acceptable. It is pleasing to the Lord. When I was a child, I came down with a disease known as rheumatic fever. It's an inflammation of the joints. It also can affect the heart. And my parents directed me that I had to lay down flat on my back. And I couldn't get up, even go to the bathroom and so forth. They had to provide a special thing for me. And I didn't understand. And Mom says, well, son, you have to get over this rheumatic fever. It is a disease that if you don't take care of this now, it'll actually affect your heart valves and hurt you for the rest of your life. Well, that scared the bejeebers. I was only 7 years of age, but I had to lay down flat on my back. I couldn't get up, couldn't walk around. And a month later, I was over the disease, but then I didn't know how to walk. So I had to learn how to walk all over again. But I had to obey my parents, and I would hear the kids outside playing in the yard. It was so hard to lay in bed because I felt fine. I had energy. But Mom and Dad told me to obey. And it's interesting, the Lord has used that in the pastorate because the Lord's taught me, I want you to obey me. And so the obedience I had to learn when I was 7 years of age, obeying my mom and dad, and a difficult thing when all the other kids around were able to go out and play, my brothers could go out and play, I had to obey. So children, if your parents give you a direction to obey, even if it may be a hard obedience, it is acceptable, it is pleasing to the Lord to obey him. And then Colossians 3:21 in its context directs righteous functioning for parents in family life. Under the control of the Holy Spirit, the believing parents. Now the word pateros here is the word for fathers, but in the context both mother and father are included with an emphasis on the leadership of the father and the family. Well, both parents are to focus on the heavenly position in Christ and cease. It's a present imperative with subjunctive negative adverb may. Cease provoking or irritating or embittering their children. There are several ways that a parent can embitter the child and provoke them if they're inconsistent. Sometimes they say, don't do this, and other times they let them do it. That will irritate a child no end because there's no consistency. or sometimes making a rule that is too hard and the child can't keep the rule no matter how hard he tries. That's an unfair situation. Or sometimes making not enough rules, and that will frustrate a child too, and the child won't respect the parent. So there has to be a beautiful balance, and this is where we need the Lord to help us as parents. But we need to avoid provoking or irritating or embittering the child. Now, the reason for the cessation of parental irritation of the child is to avoid the child's emotional and mental implosion into losing heart or being discouraged. Athumeo means to be discouraged or to lose heart. Children are very impressionable, especially at the hands of their parents. So parents must watch that as they teach, guide, and discipline their children, that all of their parental actions are constructive, not destructive to the child. Someone has said, and I think this is very, very true, a child is like a tape recorder between the ages of 1 and I think it's 15 or 16 or something like that. It's like a tape recorder, and the record button is on, and he's taken all this in. When they get to a certain age, the record goes off, the reverse goes back on, and then the play comes out. And what was programmed into the child begins to come out. And then it's a little more difficult to correct and everything. So the early years especially are extremely important. A child is extremely impressionable. So everything needs to be constructive. Discipline needs to be disciplined in the direction of, okay, how can I teach this child the better way that's happier and so forth. We are seeking to encourage good behavior, we need to do it in a constructive manner. So under the control of the Holy Spirit, as each party in the family focuses on his heavenly position in Jesus Christ, the wife is to submit herself to her own blessing before the Lord unto her husband in marriage. The husband is to decide to love his wife unconditionally and cease letting himself be incensed at her female weaknesses. The child is to obey his parents as pleasing to the Lord. And both parents must stop provoking, embittering, or irritating their children in relating to them, lest the children mentally and emotionally implode. So may we believers in Christ who are part of an earthly family rely on the Holy Spirit to focus on our heavenly position in Christ, to fulfill our God-assigned roles in that family in the way that is pleasing to the Lord. This is so incredibly important. Not long ago, there was a person that I knew, an elderly woman happened to be, who passed away. And just before she passed away, her behavior was changing, and she was in a special home. And the people noticed that her behavior signaled that the fact that she probably was heavily beaten as a child. And this surprised the family. But there was a report that came out then later that she had almost been beaten to death by her grandfather when she was real small. And that had made an indelible impression. This had affected this woman all her life. And here she was in her late 80s, and this was coming back to haunt her. And it affected her all her life. It affected her family and everything else. It's tragic that that had happened. It was from an unsaved home. She had accepted Christ as a Savior, for which we're thankful. But it reminded me of the fact that these things that occur in the family affect people for life. Someone has said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. It's very, very true. The next generation of Americans are being formed right now in their homes. So it's incredibly important that we do our part to live for the Lord and to serve the Lord. It's imperative that we seek to excel in the basics of marriage and family life. This is something I can't emphasize enough. As a pastor, when I get into counseling situations, it's amazing. The vast majority of them, I would say close to 80% of them, deal with challenges that people have had where there were situations in their home when they were growing up where there were aberrations, there were abnormalities, and they grew up with excess baggage, and now the correction has to occur. And a lot of times I'm in a role of almost a parent dealing with adults to correct that type of orientation, which should have been taken care of in childhood when they were raised. But there was enough dysfunction that created this problem. So I can't emphasize enough the importance of these roles. These roles are very basic, but incredibly important. So may God help us to operate by means of the Holy Spirit that we might excel in these basics.